Are recording.
Welcome to episode.
Good job, man. Do you want to stop and redo it?
No, fuck it.
No, we're all good. Okay.
We're rolling, baby.
Okay, welcome to episode 5 of the Ruby Discourse, the British Invasion.
The British Invasion, welcome. I am one of your hosts, Turtle. They call me Turtle.
Hi, I'm Ramp.
And I'm Jay Breaton.
Pronounce that again. What is it?
Jay Breaton.
Jay Breaton.
Yeah, cheese, brie.
I don't know what that is.
It's a type of cheese.
I've been calling you Jay Brer, which is like Brer Rabbit, I suppose.
You're all good. I've heard all sorts throughout my life, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't realize it was your actual name, so there you go.
It isn't.
That's wise.
So we are here with a very special episode of the Ruby Discourse with our friend, Jay Brer, I'm sorry.
It's Jay cool, Brer. It's fine.
We are author of the famous and very popular within the Ruby Discord, Jay Brereton's Balance Mod.
It's true, it's real good.
So it's at least okay.
Yeah, well, sure.
Also need Dakin, the time-traveling...
Dachin, Dedana, we've had a few other mod nations in the time as well, yeah.
He's prolific.
A prolific modder, also a member of, I guess the, I don't know what you would call it, the Dominions development community, right?
I would describe myself as a beta tester of Dominions 5. Yeah, I'm in the beta releases and have been since before the game came out. So
sees how the sausage is made.
I am given sausages to test without being told what flavor they are. Or even what animals went into their creation, and I'm just told to rate them. And if there are any problems, like glass or whatever inside the sausage, sometimes we get them ironed out.
You get what out?
Get them ironed out. You know, get the issues sorted.
All right.
Only sometimes.
We'll figure it out. Fix it in post. Ever.
Just pretend you know what you just smile and not just roll with it. Go with context, and if you're wrong, he'll tell you.
So Jibra, you know, I got you here, and thank you so much for agreeing to come. It's such a treat.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, you know, I sort of wanted to start at a certain place recently, and we touched on this in an earlier episode. You mentioned that you haven't really enjoyed a game of Dominions in about a year. You said that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'd say that's. Yeah, it's probably fair on saying it, yeah. That isn't to say that I haven't enjoyed, to some extent at least, interacting with the community, and I still am very active and engaged with trying to make the game as good as it can be between patches. But I'd say some of the shine has come off a little bit, but I think that happens to anyone who kind of sticks with something like quite intensely for quite a long time.
Could be, I hear you, but you know, I wanted to, as we've established, you know, you have sort of perspective. I wanted to ask you, you know, what Dominions as a game, you know, last episode, if you listen, I don't know if you listened.
I do, yeah.
Well, there you go. Oh, well,
long time listener, first time caller.
Wonderful. You know, and we love our fans, but you know, we talked a little bit about Dominions as art. I wanted to talk to you, first about Dominions as a game.
Okay.
You clearly you're like, you know, I'm not enjoying it as a game. You have major, you've been very vocal about your major elements. For example, the existence of underwater as a concept.
So when it comes to underwater, right. So when it comes to my feelings about Dominions in general, right. I think to some extent I share the same opinion as the devs, which is that it's much better when there is an increased level of interaction between all the different nations. And when the interactions that they have are more, how can you put it? Where there's more kind of reasonable ways for the nations to interact with each other in a way that is still interesting and they're still doing different things, but where there's some reciprocity. And I think my issue with underwater nations is that lack of reciprocity, and as well as that, the fairly severe issues in terms of how those nations then play when it comes to like a longer term game. So for example, in the vanilla game, there is, I don't think, still a single underwater nation that gets any national recruitment outside of the coasts on land.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's such a huge problem.
It is, and they've had it in the even modders have been able to add land recruitment for underwater nations since mid Dom 5. It was one of the things I asked for, asked the devs about, haven't done it.
Are you sure? Like, not even middle age Pelagia doesn't get anything.
Pelagia gets champions of the closed realm on the coast, but other than that, it's all coastal stuff. So. Even like Iss, right? And even Oceania, it's all coastal. And so I think there's just, yeah. And it's such a weird, and the way that then causes the map to work, where basically the ring around all of the areas of water is extremely hazardous if you are a land nation, because basically any fish nation can, on a whim, more or less decide to like mess you up.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it early, at least. But at the same time, the inside of the land, like, which is normally like at least half the map, is basically a wasteland for water nations. And so
you might call it a sort of closed realm.
You might.
If you were
Absolutely. And so the way that shakes out in practice is that, like, often you have people who are just disruptive picking the underwater nations because it's a fun way to be disruptive if that's what you're up for. But at the same time, you're never going to win a game. So it kind of encourages
people
wouldn't
do that.
Bad behavior.
Just play EA Relay and cast Burden of Time.
They just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Certainly not in 14 turns.
It's not a logical or rational thing to do. Therefore, we can safely conclude with no further study that people aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Not a single gamer has done it in history. So that's like the kind of thing that I find kind of vexing with the game. And you can tell that Swedes do as well. So they did an interview with some Swedish gaming magazine in the days of yore, and they basically conceded that the game was much better when everyone was a land nation. So that's one of the reasons that I'm not so in favor of underwater.
And they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They've got the means to do something, but yeah.
the means, I guess, being, you know, whatever machine in their garage they produce the minions on.
They have to run a car, like, just powered by the belt going off the axle.
That's it.
It's funny you say that. It's very interesting because, the effect of that is that water nations are tethered to a certain geography.
Yeah, yes. It's just, right. You know, you need like custom maps and like their map making stuff. It just comes with it. It just has like a giant stupid pond half the time if you do full wrap.
It's also funny. You know, this is a strategy I use very frequently. Like, I'll take not a water nation but an amphibious nation. Middle age Agartha, or I was recently I was late age, I want to say Erythea, perhaps Jay Baratron would say Erythea.
No, you're all good. Erythea is what I'd call it as well. Shit, that doesn't mean either of us is right.
That's okay. No, I'm just saying. I'm just noting.
I think you guys are right.
Thank you, Ramsey.
Thanks.
one of the first things I do when I'm looking at a map, especially if I am amphibious, you know, or have amphibious designs, is, you know, I'll look at the number of thrones that are adjacent to water or like close enough to be adjacent.
Oh yeah, boat
within
right.
Within two or three provinces, you know, and because and then you know, I'll very quickly move to secure all of the lakes, you know what I mean, or all of the, you know, and then try to win in the mid game by launching an amphibious assault.
Yeah, even if you're like playing a mostly land nation game, if you like get the shipwreckers or something and just like grab a few a little ponds, like, no one's gonna take that shit away from you.
Yeah,
like, and you'll get the swimming men for like 10 gold, and they'll take the rest of the ponds. So
they'll instantly die to shark trap.
It was supposed to be episode one of the podcast, and we still haven't made it, but yeah, the swimming men figure heavily into a war that Ramsey wants to talk about sometime.
Right on.
Yeah.
It was one I won with the Asphodel one, the Berserker Geth Weapons.
No, I can't believe they let you win. But hey, again, that's you, the empaths, right? Really?
I did.
No, I can.
Jay Brereton famously just tearing out his hair whenever he hears about one of us getting away with shit.
It does my head in. It's like, you know, it's the same guys as well. They just keep getting mugged by the same gambit. It's like, okay, so you're going to invade rank for like maybe one turn, maybe two turns, lose a couple battles, and he's going to go, you know what you should do is you shouldn't invade me. And then he's going to say the same thing to three other guys, and at least two of them are going to go, oh, maybe. And that's it. Game's lost, you know? Or like, Otel just goes, oh, hey, you guys should be concentrating on this other guy who's like completely irrelevant and, you know, and fight some battles against them. That's a great idea.
Well, hold on. Well,
he's going to steal your farmland province. Watch out for that guy.
That's a mischaracterization of my strategy.
Is it?
Yes, it is actually because the thing I'm offering them is not is an easy victory.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves an easy victory, man. Everybody's like, oh yeah, I'd love to get like three provinces and not fight a single battle.
Hurdle just here. What's your pleasure, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what you do is you just
offer. Open this puzzle box, please.
Yeah, you offer enough people that deal that you win.
Right.
Like
enough that you can get positioned close enough to the throw-ins for a lunge.
Yeah, you know, you what's it called? You know, you offer people a win-win situation, you know, and you offer it like
just 20 make sure people. You win more.
Yes.
That's it. You'd go fool the producers and go, oh, you know what, you guys can have three provinces of Agartha, and so can this other guy, and so can this other guy.
Yeah.
And the two of you can have two provinces of Marignan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so on. Yeah.
And you know, and it works because people are like, oh, something for nothing.
Right. That's a good deal. But yeah. And they don't, you know, then they don't double check, like, is this guy getting all the you know, access to throw?
Well, it's not important. He's not talking to you about that. That's, you know.
Look, they were gonna win.
Well, it's funny. It's funny how much people prioritize access to thrones early on, right?
Like,
I hear you, but like I was just talking to someone, you know, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna take this province, and like that's an indie, like, you know, that's like an indie access, that's a throne access indie province, you know. And I was like,
access road.
Yeah, and I'm like whatever, like
easement,
like I'm like, if you're planning to win the game, you're gonna have to war me anyway. I didn't say this to them, you know, but like right. I always let people like have the throne, you know what I mean, as long as your border is right next to it. You know what I mean? Or close enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Jump on
that, yeah.
Yeah. That I could take it from you at like the time I want to. Yeah. Have it. You know, enjoy. You know what I mean?
That shit's one of the annoying drones, I guess.
Yeah. Just go, why don't you have the Throne of Autumn? I hear it makes really good mages.
Yeah.
The, you know what? I haven't seen a monolith throne in a while. Thank you.
We're not playing.
Changing those watchers.
You're completely welcome. That's been a bugbear of mine for a while.
I kind of like the Carrot Watchers. I'm sorry, Jay Bear.
I
like the other ones. I like the ones that lighten you.
Oh, wow. Wow.
They're a little controversial for me because the basic issue is that it gets to a certain point and your mages won't even cast Chakras anymore. So yeah. If you have like 30 Chakras, which is nothing like enough for a Watcher throne, you gotta just go, you know what, I've got 30 already, I think I'm good, Chief. And then you take one bolt that goes through and instantly you're stunned for 20 turns and the monolith is just gonna blow you up. So yeah.
This time it's different.
So, I
don't like them because they're a puzzle throne and there's like two ways to do it.
Yeah.
Right. That's the other thing, is you either have assassins capable of dealing with it, or you have sufficient guys to magic duel it, or you have, you know, one of the other like really gamey ways to deal with it.
Or you don't. Cast Howl and fatigue your guys out so no one can ever run.
Right. Again, perfectly good.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm sitting here. It's weird that I, of all people, am sitting here defending them because I had a very painful loss.
Everyone has, I think. But tell us about your misfortune.
Whatever, you know, you both know about it.
Oh, all it
was,
right.
It was the Theranos game where you won.
Yeah.
You
know?
I'm terribly sorry for my bad advice in that game.
You were Jay Burton. I want to take this moment to publicly exonerate you. It was not your fault. It was fine. Everything's fine. You know, the my real crime was starting a game without like a clear idea of what I wanted to do. You know, I've mentioned that I have a sort of like 50% win rate or whatever, you know, and typically what that is the normal way that works is I take some time off and I come back with like a clear idea of something I want to accomplish. Right.
Yeah.
Like I want to, you know, the Lavazots idea with Abyssia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
a great idea. Well executed.
Thank you. It's very kind to say, you know, and I executed it so fast that actually nobody in the game knew it was happening. And I've never really talked about it. I mean, I've like mentioned the idea, but I've never really, you know, I don't really do postmortems.
You're not putting a strategy guide up on Dominions mods.
I'm not, you know,
On Steam.
Yeah, what you want to do, is you want to not expand and just summon Lavazots for 2 years.
Well, actually, that would be funny because the whole principle of Lavazots is that they're really bad at indies because they attrition like crazy, but they're great versus someone else's actual troops. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the instant somebody found you, if you killed them, right, like that could actually work. You know, that's funny. But
do that report back.
What did you say?
Someone should do that and report back. One of our viewers, not us.
I might.
Yeah, Mexivic always plays Abyssia, right? Why don't you give it a go, dude?
We believe in you.
Yeah, but anyways, no, but what's it called? So I'll join a game with like a clear idea of what I want to do at the start, you know, and those I tend to win because I have a clear idea. You know, I'm planning like 10 turns in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I already know what I want my mid game to look like. I already know what I want my end game to look like, you know. And then like I'll join a game afterwards and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll try something else. And I always lose those. Because I'm just like fucking around.
You know, in the famous words of Comrade Mao, strategy without tactics is the slowest way to victory. Tactics without strategy is a noise before a defeat. So you have to think of a plan and execute the plan.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we've talked about Dominions being front-loaded. And you know what? Maybe that is I don't know if it's a flaw as a game, you know, but it's certainly an unfriendly a user
part of the charm.
Yeah.
The Bless system is both like, I guess, like one of the hearts of the game, but also one of the parts that they haven't really done as much as they could with. Like they're literally just five cross path blesses. What is this?
Yeah, and then like three of them are movement blesses anyway.
Like why we even implement this?
Is larger a movement bless? I think
larger is a movement bless. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's plus two map move, baby. That's and it's non-incarnate. You can take it and Windwalker for plus eight.
Love larger.
Imagine how fast your clowns are going to go.
Yeah, sure. or your God, what are they called, like Ryushi or something for Jomon?
Those things go really far.
Yeah, you give them messenger boots and they go like. 60 map move.
It's I like them.
I've never been wowed by the Ryujin. Those are the underwater dragon guys, right?
Ryujin, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, they're part of a strategy. They're just water mages. You can't really hinge a lot on them. But they're fast. Right.
I think I sort of in my heart wanted them to be able to thug and they can't.
What people do is like, you know, they send them with like a water lens to test a few elementals, but by that time in the game, you're probably going to get sniped by some bullshit.
Right. Or something more important is happening. I think that's the issue with Jomon in general is, you know, they're pretty good at melee for like year zero. And then afterwards, they have all kinds of problems. Like, it's really hard to execute on anything. And if you go underwater too early as well, you're just going to get invaded and die by some crossbows.
It's like 55 air gems to summon a commander and some dudes. Guys, come on.
I don't want to spoil it. I think you both know, but I don't want to spoil it publicly. But I do have a Jomon build that I want to try. So,
good.
Keep us posted.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's all right. So Dominions is a game, you know, Jay Brereton, we talked about this, but I'd like to talk about it again. What would you want to see in Dominions for it to be enjoyable for you as a game, the experience to be enjoyable for you?
I think for me, I may have just spent too long playing it, but I think some things that would make the game better within the constraints of what it's trying to do for me would be much more spatial battle magic. So I was pushing for that before it came out, for things like, for example, right? At the moment, the only real spatial magic you have on the battlefield is Blink. right? And that's only for you. And you can do it as an enemy. You can code it up as a way to attack an enemy and send them somewhere randomly across the forge.
Wait, but, has anyone ever used Blink successfully? Like to do stuff?
Nobody has ever used Blink successfully because you can't target it. It's just a way to maybe die or maybe not. So I was trying to encourage them to go for for example, you have a wall of water, you know, that like pushed people backwards. You could have magnets to attract like things with ferrous weapons and armor. That'd be cool. Pull people off walls and so on. But yeah, no, instead we have like nothing, which is a shame because when they moved to a 3D combat system, I think that would have been quite a cool additional thing. But the main things for me that would make it better as a game, in addition to like spatial magic, would just be some way to, I mean, it's a hell of a thing to unpick, but some way to deal with the gem issue, because assigning gems, even if you know the shortcuts, like in terms of the gem buttons, it's still absolute murder, just in terms of wasted time doing actions. Mm-hmm. And it never gets more interesting. So I think that's kind of a big problem with the game.
On the micro.
Yeah, the micro, and I think that's the main thing. I think some of the stuff I've tried to do in JPBM is an attempt to try and reconcile some of the other problems I have with the game. So, for example, the domes are a lot earlier, like that kind of thing, and a lot cheaper, so there's more interactivity on the map.
Yeah, you don't see domes a lot. I think I've seen them once.
In Gen game, I mean, someone was getting salty, sending like two Pollux or something at me.
Right. But typically in most games, you barely ever see it because it's so, because
like they'll pop up if you're getting like really, I guess,
late game,
if you're getting really predictable about what you're doing, like keep sending the thing at the province, eventually the Muse game where he was hit on and I was like harassing with TC. He eventually just put up domes because he realized I can just do that.
Right, exactly. But that's pretty much the only other real use case is like if you have a throne really secured and it's you're about to, you know, win the game, I would maybe put a dome up. I would maybe put a dome up on my capital if it kept getting like hit by blight or some other crap. But otherwise,
Death, Vengeance of the Dead, well, the good when, shit.
By the time you get hit by Black Death, it's too late. Right.
Yeah, ultimately, everyone's dead.
You get hit once, oh look, 20,000 people are dead, my rec points never come back. But
that's funny, and it's so we're talking about this and the problem with the dome stuff, you know, and this is an episode that Ramsey and I've talked about making, but we haven't gotten to it yet, you know. But basically, and this is like a martial arts thing or whatever, I have a student, Abutre, the vulture, who you guys would like, I think, you know, because he's sort of an intellectual guy. He loves chess and stuff like that. He's been like doing capoeira, you know, and he's been trying to think about capoeira. Like, you know, he was telling me, he's like, you know, I'm thinking about like how like people occupy space, how they use space and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, I hear what you're saying. I'm like, but I think the thing to focus on right now instead of space is people's attention. Right. I mean, you want to think about controlling people's attention. You want to think about what he's thinking about.
Yeah.
Right. You know, a major thing and a major issue in Dominions or a major source of, I think, a lot of frustration for a lot of people is that there's no way to do that, really. Like something like a dome, you know, it's a counter move. Right. So you put up a dome on your province. It only works if he's casting something on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
doesn't move. It doesn't stay forever unless it's that one.
It's the air dome or forest dome. Yeah, but then even those bend down.
But I'm like the fire dome or the horror dome. Yeah, you know, like the counter moves, but you don't get a chance to use them a lot because because you're like, oh man, and this is the thing that people get into a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they sort of imagine the other person is like playing optimally, thinking clearly. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
that's a big mistake I make in the by the time I get to late game, I'm like, right, anyone else who's got to this point must also have a clue, therefore I'm gonna have to try and think what they're doing, and then you just end up down a like a warren of like mad speculation about people you know probably aren't gonna be doing it. And then when they make a mistake, you're like, okay, so they really screwed up that time, but was that a ruse?
Yeah, you know, yes, there's
probably not.
Yes. You know, sometimes it is like if you're playing monkey or someone.
Nuclear, oh well.
Yeah, like sometimes maybe.
He's like a whole other level.
Yeah, but mostly it's not, in part because Dominions is so complex, you know. Like rarely is a person going, like there are counter moves for everything, but like people just, you know, I remember one time I was invading, this is another game I lost to Ramsey. I was Abyssia. I was invading, is it Uruk?
In right. Yeah, Uruk, whatever, yeah. UK, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So he had a cap full of you know, high level astral mages, and I'm marching a bunch of hellspawn trash at him, and the obvious thing, you know, for him to do is mindhunt the hell out of me, right? I don't have any astral in the army, so I'm spending a lot of money hiring this sage merc. You know, right. I mean, like, you know, I'm doing all this stuff to, like, prevent against mindhunt, you know. Right. And I talked to him later. He's like, oh, I forgot I could do that.
Yeah. He's like, oh, my plan was to script Soul Slay a bunch of times.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, and it's not that they're like, not the praise of a bad player. You know, it's that, like, you know, it's just that, like, there's so many moving parts in the games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know. I think that may have hurt you when you were playing Theridos. It certainly hurt me when I was trying to give you like some useful advice. It's like because certain nations have such wide access, you're like, okay, so I can do nearly anything in the game.
Yeah.
What's gonna make sense and not be overcomplicated? I think this is to some extent why
Helheim just rolls up with like 30 fucking map move,
and they're vampires and they've got storm demons and may not lose, you know, just depending on how the morale rolls go when they all start dying of poison. But I think when it comes to nations like
I had taken a poison resist bless because
he did take a poison resist
turtle.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But I think the reason why, for example, some nations like Arco are like often underrated, I would say, outside of Ruby, is probably because there are so many like trillion, not only like all the random spells that they have just been given over Dawn 5, but the fact they've got access to borderline every single path.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, at that point, like if you don't know what you're doing, you can really fuck yourself up. And at the same time, you can also ignore some like really really powerful like plays you can make.
It's true.
Is this why Pangaea is just like mid-tier to them? It's like, oh, they only have like 3 paths. What can Pan do?
Maybe. I think also they might just have different experience with in terms of how powerful seduction and so on. Because over there and elsewhere, I think a lot of people try and use Dryads as research mages. Just because they have 2 more RP than a centaur, right? So they're all sat in their thrones. When, to me at least, a dryad is something you buy purposefully to attack other players.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much exactly what they're for. You know, they're so expensive you can't just use them as research mages. Mm-hmm. I think it might just be a doctrinal difference as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that we've settled this, you know, it's helpful because I'm realizing, like, you know, like when I start a game and I'm like, I'm doing this, like I'm doing Lavazots, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I am, you know, recently I won back to back with the Maneater, I guess, you know, once as blood bander log, you know, and then once as Hinnom, when I do Lavazots, when I do Bloodbander Log, you know what I mean? Like Bloodbander Log, I'm like, I know exactly what I'm doing, right? You know, like there's all these tools available to me, but I'm not distracted by any of them because I know exactly what I intend to do.
Right, in your heart of hearts, you want to be the guy who's won Bloodbander Log.
Yes, sure. Also, I wanted to win with Bander Log, and Bloodbander Log was the only way to do that.
Yes, that's true. if you don't do that, you just turn into like a giant speed bump. MAL just rolls right over you.
Yeah, you know.
So you basically turn into a lower HP version of Uruk.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so the astral summons, the Gandharvas especially, like, did a surprising amount of work for me. The argument against them is they're very expensive. And so, like, when they die, you know, you can't feel another army of them. you know. But for what they are, you know, they're really, really good, actually.
It's celestial music, right?
Yes, with celestial music.
There you go.
Which gives them all quickness, you know. But the whatever of it is, but the thing about them is, they don't scale, right?
Right.
Like you know,
right. So, three pearls each, and
yes,
you know, this isn't Dom 3, right? A clam of pearls isn't just going to make a bunch more pearls forever.
Exactly.
It's firmly in the situational camp.
Yes. So we've talked about what's it called? We've talked about how early game is about troops, mid game is about magic, late game is about scale.
Yeah.
So Vanderlog's problem is if you don't somehow get blood, you have nothing. You have scales.
Right.
Right. You know. So, but you know, the thing I'm realizing, you know, about these games that tend to win, you know, is I've already decided before the game has begun what tools I think I'm going to use and what tools I'm going to ignore.
Yep. You know?
I don't know. There's a sort of choice fatigue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Choice fatigue. Morale. And also, yeah, exactly. Another aspect of morale is, you know, if you start taking a licking as a faction with, you know, like 50 different options, you're like, well, okay, I'm getting beat. And it's like, is it like, how do I get out of this rut? Because I have all these, you know, I'm clearly messing up badly somehow, because I could have been doing all these other things that would have beaten in that fight. But yeah.
Right. No, you know, it's true. That's the thing about Dominions, you know, like something that will happen is people will like make like 2 succubi.
Yeah.
And they'll like sneak them over, and now you've got 2 succubi like occasionally doing like minor stuff. When actually you want, if you're going to do succubi, you want 30 succubi. Right.
You do. But unfortunately, getting, you know, 2,000 blood slaves in Dominion 5 is a little bit more tricky, I would say, just due to the introduction of Cataclysm. Quite deliberately tries to curtail some of the late game with medium success, I would say.
Yeah.
Again, without just talking about like my mod all the time, like
you're here in part to talk about the mod that bears your name, so
right. I would say one of its main objectives is basically to lengthen the mid game and shorten the late game. And
yeah.
Part of that is doing things like changing how the magic scales so that you get there, you get to the mid game almost regardless of your scales, but you get out of it with a little more difficulty. And as well as that, the buffs to the Doom Horrors, so that when it comes to the Cataclysm, that is actually much more realistic that it just ends the game. And with Cataclysm in most games...
I didn't realize you buffed the Doom Horrors. It's been a while.
I did, hugely. Yeah. So in the base game, they don't have elemental resist.
I can't just freeze their hearts anymore.
Right, exactly. You can't just hit them with thunder weapons and they sit there being incredibly bad and dying.
Fucking Scabiel. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, literally walk up to Scabiel with some guys with thunder weapons and he goes, ah, shit, I guess I'm not desolating the world today.
I guess I die.
Yeah.
Good. Fuck them. I'm tired of this Doom Horror bullshit.
Just pushing us around, telling us how long our games can go.
Yeah, exactly. Them.
They're not the boss of me. Aegon, let me...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. You know, I appreciate the spirit of that. I do think that I don't have many interesting game theory insights, but I will say that I think the mid game is by far the most interesting part of Dominions.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything related to role playing games, I would say. And Dominions fits within that niche. So like, for example, Baldur's Gate, right? Baldur's Gate 1 is kind of crap. Baldur's Gate 2 Shadows of Iron, brilliant, because it's all in like the good bit of Dungeons and Dragons, where you have some options, everyone does some little different things, nobody like just presses a button and wins every fight, and nobody has, you know, it's not like everyone's got 50 abilities where everything takes ages to resolve. So perfect, right? So the sweet spot, exactly. So it's at the sweet spot, and that's the same is true when you are dealing with like spells and counter spells and Dominions, and like a lot of the cool bits about like the mid game, even the mid game like resistance magic, is that it isn't across the entire battlefield. You don't just like press a button and you know that's it, you don't have to deal with whatever anymore. You actually have to involve some like positioning and strategy in
how you do it. Oh, I hate that shit.
Same.
Yeah?
Give me Frostbend. Okay. Yeah. Give me Frostbend at research 3, Jaber.
That's it. Warriors of Niflheim, now at you know, alt 5.
Yeah.
You're already Warriors of Niflheim. It should be innate.
Well, you know,
yeah, absolutely. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think in part because I had some really bad experiences with what I guess the Apkallu would call point buffs.
Mm-hmm. I call them buffs.
Well, there you go. You know, I buffs aren't like battlefield wide fire and forget. You know, I had some bad early experiences where I was like trying to buff like living mercuries or something, and like
they cast on the wolves or something.
Yeah, those two
wolves are lucky now. Never mind all my sacreds are about to get stabbed to death.
The fiddly whatever, and that's something, you know. Dominions is very fiddly.
Yeah, it's kind of a charm.
Sure. You know,
winding him up, letting him go, and just kind of like, oh no.
You know, I, Jay Bear makes fun of me and stuff, but I think that's one of the reasons my strategy works, of like offering people something for nothing, right?
Yeah.
Certainty.
Because
they're horny for putting in no effort compared to normal. That's completely understandable.
You know,
it sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
And also, as opposed to, you know,
try playing EATC. That's like the most effort-heavy faction. And by the end of the game, no matter if you win or lose, you are exhausted.
That's why you only play one game at a time, Jay Brereton. You hydrate.
Messed up.
You limber up before logging in for your turn.
That's it. Do some isometric exercise. Jobs are good.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, people like, you know, set up like these very, you know, very fiddly, like, you know, like, I remember, what was it? Apkallu, a guy on Apkallu posted a thing about like how the Bronze Colossus was bad. He's like, 50 guys casting Moss Body upon themselves.
the Bronze Colossus is wearing trample boots, of course, so it'll get stabbed as many times as possible by these bespoke thugs with
by 80 warlords with a great sort of sharpness that have been buffed with ethereality, luck, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you know,
you'll never be able to stop that.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing in the game would stop that, and that guy couldn't just walk off.
You know, the thing about that stuff, you know, the thing about that stuff is that it works like, you know, like high, you know, there's sort of a joke, you know, about like you know I never blind expand, for example, right? You know,
okay.
no matter how many times it works in single player testing, it will be the one time you need it to work that it won't work. You know,
there are already so many moving parts to fight an actual person who knows what they're doing with the Bronze Colossus is just a nightmare. It's a pain in the ass.
No, exactly.
You just walk around it.
Yeah, you know, and you know,
I can't teleport.
But like, yes, no, the Bronze Colossus is good, I think, you know, not because, you know, you can, it's undefeatable with like an ideal perfect setup or whatever, but because it's so simple and straightforward. You know what I mean? It's a blunt object, you know, that, you know, that's easy to use.
Mm-hmm. Put it there, and all the enemies die. You don't have to slip it into a warm bath.
It's great. It's not even like an Azzy or something where, you know, it just flies behind some wolf tribe that running off and gets itself slashed and dies.
Okay. It can't bleed.
I had a great argument with, well, I say argument. I had a disagreement with some of the other beta testers with
dragons.
Just regarding dragons and the. So one of the big changes in Dominions 5 compared to 4, I would say, is the addition of attacking into enemy provinces through your own without having to fly. Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about flying like it's the
it's amazing. You
know, the next coming, right? But at the same time, a dragon, for example, has 22 map move, it can swim, and it has like forest survival and stuff. It's going to go where you need it in the expansion phase.
It's really good.
And the great thing about not flying is you never end up in like a horrible position. Like, if you have to run, which is rare, normally you get away.
Yeah, as you're saying, you're not going to fly into, like, you know, a nest of spears if you're walking slowly toward the person.
Right. Exactly. You don't fly behind the retreating enemy army and then, like, fingers crossed, you don't die. Have a good one. So for them, right. So for them, they're saying, like, flying is really good on an expander, and for me, it's just a liability. Like,
yeah, you know, the modern meta for dragons is, like, what's it called? Is to fire closest, so your dragon doesn't fly. He, like,
slowly, absolutely.
He creeps forward on little cross feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, you know, but the things that are good in Dominions are, you know, when we talk about good, like, stuff like Horde of Skeletons, you know what I mean, like, you know, mm-hmm, Star Spam, mm-hmm. There are things that are, like, straightforwardly good without that many moving parts.
Yeah, Soul Slay, Horde of Skeletons, in Assassinations, I would say Swarm is kind of a blunt object.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Even the troop buffs, I would say, are relatively blunt object. Like, Legions of Steel is a blunt object. It also works because Destruction was tanked to hell. So that kind of thing is, like, those things make a really big difference.
Yeah, no, it's true. I actually, you know, Legion of Steel is something I know you love it. I avoid it because I'm like, I don't really understand what it does. And it's not battlefield wide, so I'm just gonna, like, avoid fighting
it's,
a war.
It's area 25. It's, like, it's pretty close to battlefield wide early.
I hear
it's
you.
It's plus three per armor piece.
I'll use it in, like, MA Ulm.
Yeah, or EA Ulm even is good on.
I don't play EA Ulm yet.
Okay, fair enough.
They kind of suck.
Wow. They just got buffed by the short sword buffs.
Oh wow. Are they longer now?
No. The defense bonus was restored, which was taken away in Dominions 5.
I think the tragic part about them is that their cap sacred is Conan the Barbarians, but they just don't seem very good to me.
Well, yeah, it's true. But then, hey, you know, Conan sometimes got beaten. So it's
like
it's
I guess.
You know, it's thematic that sometimes mages beat them, you know?
Wizards.
That's it, wizards, yeah.
Well, I hear you. So Jay Brereton, we're agreed, of course, on, like, you know, that, like, blood is overpowered and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how that's weird from a game. I mean, you talk about, like, you know, the asymmetrical
mm-hmm. yep.
stuff, but yep. how in underwater it's bad game design. You know.
Yes.
I think also in blood it might be bad game design.
I would agree with you. I would say
gem.
Exactly. The fact that it's actually quite hard to deal with blood in a way that doesn't ruin the entire planet, which unfortunately you're also occupying. I'd say the other thing about blood and summoning spells in general, but especially blood spells, is that they make more of the map usable for obtaining troops. So for most nations, there are only maybe 1 in 5 provinces on the map that can actually use to obtain troops from. For blood nations, you pick a province, you cast a bunch of spells there, and suddenly you've got an army.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't make troops very often besides summoning and stuff, so I guess I hadn't thought about it. But that's true. No, but yeah. I've been thinking about it, you know, I think that the blood stuff, like the underwater stuff, isn't really useful as a game. I was wondering how you might feel. I don't know, you said you listened to the last episode. You know, how do you feel about blood, you know, as it relates to Dominions as sort of a work of art, or, you know, a work of interactive art?
Yeah, cool. So when it comes to blood, I think it works really well as part of that the wider realm of Dominions and how the world is structured, almost, because it's pretty explicit. Using blood magic is incredibly bad for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, arcane corruption, or astral corruption rather, literally says, do not cast this, it's bad. Yeah. other people have cast this, it doesn't work out for you very well. And many ages of mages have said, do not cast this. But eventually someone always does, of course. Because people can't help themselves.
Yeah, well, so, I like that. I also like unleashing the imprisoned ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'd say another I guess, part of blood magic that doesn't happen too often, but you can actually be like attacked for blood hunting. Like even as nations that are really into it, there are events that cause like the general public to get annoyed.
I've noticed this. Yeah, there's, you know, those are new. I like those. You know, you get attacked by a guy with a pitchfork or something.
Yeah, that's it. Some random peasants like really mad at you. But yeah, so at the very least, there's certainly the suggestion, even within the game, that what you're doing is a horrible way to win. But on the other hand, if you just like winning, and quite a lot of people do, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Ramsey is our representative for that contingent.
Hi. I can sympathize with that opinion. But yeah, for me, it's I don't know, it's hard to say. I love Dominions, the work of art. That's part of why I've stuck around for as long as I have, because the interplay between all the different factions is quite interesting, even though I would say for the last maybe five they've added, they've all been quite self-contained. Mm-hmm. But maybe that if they made a Dominion 6, and who knows if they will, I would anticipate that there'll be more kind of meshing of the newer factions into the rest of the world.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, like how like Ind and Naba and, you know, and all those things, Ubar.
Yeah, how they relate. And for example, with some of the sub areas of Ind, for example, could theoretically be their own nations in LA, and then you could have, you know, the interplay between that culture and Patala and LATC.
I was about to say I liked, and I thought this was part of the game, but it turned out to be a personal touch of yours, actually. I wanted to compliment you on this. You know, there's a hero I think JBBM adds into late age Tianqi.
Yep.
Where he's a degenerate, like sort of con or something.
He claims to be oppressed the king.
Yeah.
He's a gog. Yeah. He's called Seymour. Yeah.
No, I
interesting name.
Well.
We should have you on for another episode at some point to talk about modding as a storytelling medium.
Yeah, I would say, you know who'd be really good for that would be Moo, because he makes beautiful mods.
Yes, no, to talk to Moo about that is one of my ambitions for this. I don't know if it'll be realized. It's one of my ambitions. You know, I'm interested in the idea of this Dominion as a sort of an outsider art sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so the other thing, Jay Bear, you used this phrase earlier. You were like, you know, Dominions within the confines of what it's trying to do and stuff. I'd be interested, and perhaps running out of time, you know, I'm watching the clock here, but, you know, I'd be interested to hear you talk about what you think Dominions is trying to do, both from a gameplay perspective and an artistic perspective. And the next question beyond that is, how successful do you think it is at those things?
I would say Dominions is very, very successful at being a thoroughly absorbing way to tell the story of a war that keeps repeating itself to a number of people who become increasingly good at it, which is kind of internal to the game's narrative as well as being what it is in practice. As to whether that actually has huge mass appeal, that's really hard to tell. But I think if you like are just gauging it from your own personal standpoint, like for me, I think it does a great job of doing what it does, and hopefully it'll keep doing it in the future. Who knows?
I mean it will. You know, that's what it does. You just hit the button and it does that, Jupiter.
It's true.
that's very interesting. I see what you're saying. You know, and the sort of player. Hold on, what was that? What's it called, Ramsey?
What sort of player?
No, the Ludo narrative.
The Ludo narrative? Ludo narrative dissonance? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know. I'm doing my best here.
It's so good.
Ludo narrative is the interaction between narrative and gameplay elements.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. God damn. I was struggling and you both just let me drown.
We just wanted to see what happens.
Just flip that turtle on its back.
Why aren't we flipping that turtle?
The turtle's on its back in the sun, and you just let it, and you're not helping. Why aren't you helping?
It's a good question.
Jesus.
I guess we aren't helping because we may have run out of time.
No, it's fine. That's fine. Well, yeah, hey, Jay Barrett, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you.
Yeah, it's a treat. It's a privilege to get your perspective. You know, and it's about bedtime over there for in England, right? Isn't it?
Be very early bedtime, but yeah, it's going on in the evening, and I've been at work all day.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. Maybe someday, you know, would you be interested in coming back on at some point? You know, if
you'll have me.
Yeah. I mean, something I explored. You know, So thank you very much. All right, Ramsey, how do you feel? You feeling good?
I feel good.
Want to take us with any final thoughts?
Have any final thoughts? I would like to thank Jay Bird for, maintaining the JDBM mod, and which kind of helps keep the game fresh for those of us who've gotten used to, perhaps even jaded by, the normal vanilla thing of make the Vampire Lord factories that we've all worked in one time or another.
Yeah.
Getting late games.
I've actually never made one.
You did the same dang thing, but it was just Blood Bandar Log and like those other blood summons.
Dakini, yeah.
It's like that, but forever.
It's not the same.
Maybe not. They're not immortal.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, and of course, I would like to thank Jay Bear. I think all of us, I don't want to dox you, but you're a civil servant. You know, your profession is very thankless. Similarly, the work you do trying to keep dominions sane and livable, you know, is also thankless, but I appreciate it.
You're being thankful now, so yeah. I couldn't possibly say it's thankless.
It puts the lie right to that turtle.
Exactly.
We thanked him twice.
Wow.
That's it. I've been thunk.
What the fuck, dude? Jesus. Here I am identifying Jay Bear as an unsung hero, and Jay Bear's like, well...
Not you're singing my tune right now.
It's true. Fine. Well,
it's a pleasure. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, you know? So thank you very much for keeping on keeping on.
Of course. All right. Well, until next time, I suppose. Thank you all very much. This has been Ruby Discord episode 5. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Oh, shit.